Hey, I'm Tracy Burns. Welcome to Wine on the Street. We are back at Zaki's doing a little post-game wrap-up. Andrew McMurray here with us right now, Vice President of Zaki's. So you had this amazing event, Great Wines of Italy, about two weeks ago now. It's February 23rd. You said there were 800 people there. What's amazing is it didn't feel like 800 people.
Didn't feel like 800 people at all. The IAC building is a super cool spot.
Yeah.
Besides being sleek and a great spot to have an evening tasting, the space is so like kind of long and spread out that it was like full and vibrant the whole night.
DJ was great.
He was awesome.
I mean, why not have a DJ when you're tasting
wine?
Did you see?
I didn't see him when I watched back the video on Facebook just recently. At one point during the night, besides being, he's from the rock band in Australia, Empire of the Sun. And so besides being a DJ, he's a guitarist. So at one point in time in the night, he pulled a guitar out. Did you see that? And he was playing his guitar.
Excellent.
And kind of moving the music at the same time. You know, it goes to show that we can make wine tastings fun and cool. And
it was awesome. And actually, one of the most impressive parts, I thought, was the producer brought a lot of wine. Because they didn't run out of the wine snobs would call the good stuff.
Right.
It was there till the bitter end.
Yeah.
And I was pretty impressed with that, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't pouring you full glasses by any stretch, but you could taste to the bitter end, and I thought that was really cool. Because sometimes producers show up at these things with like two bottles of the really great stuff, and then they try to pawn off their others, and no, I thought all the wines were amazing.
That's always been for James and I for these events. We've both been in the industry for a long time, and we've been, like you said, we've been to all those tastings where there's been either bad food, bad music, or not enough good wine, and we just said we're going to be the opposite of all of that. So if a producer says they want to come and participate in the event, they got to show up with at least six bottles of every wine that they're pouring so that there's enough for everyone to taste.
Well, it was evident. And the food was terrific. And you referred to James Suckling. That is who you ran the event with. He's jamessuckling.com. Okay, so one of the reasons I love going to these events is to taste wines I've never had before.
Yep.
I think that is what everyone should do, quite frankly. And there's 1,000 wines in front of us right now. So I'm going to let you walk us through some of the ones that just popped out at you that night.
Sure. So, like you said, the great thing about tastings like this is there's a lot of wines you don't know, varietals you don't know, and they don't all have to be expensive. I mean, the wines for those nights, they ran anywhere between like $15 and $500 a bottle. But there's a little bit of everything for everybody, which is great. So in your glass right now is a great producer that James turned me on to from southern Italy, from the Campania region. We are now sniffing and tasting a Greco di Tufo,
which is a grape.
That is the varietal. And you can see from the color in the glass, which you can't see obviously in a podcast, but you can take our word for it. And it almost has like kind of like that golden yellow / greenish hue to it.
Yeah, totally.
As if
a Chardonnay.
Yeah. And, you know, texturally in the mouth, you know, it has great viscosity. Almost a little bit of oily texture to it.
Oh, wow. That's super.
A little bit on the cold side, but for people who are looking for something a notch above Pinot Grigio, you know what I mean?
Because it's got more on the tongue, more on the palate.
See the way that lingers? And the wine's a little cold. When it warms up, it'll get fatter. But this is like, this is a food white wine. I mean, great sipping on its own. But how many people can say, you know, they've had a lot of great Greco di Tufo? How many people can say they've ever had any Greco di Tufo?
Well, and I think that's
the cool thing, right?
Exactly. Tell the story. Bring it to your next dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Summer's coming pretty darn quick, at least here on the East Coast, which is pretty amazing.
You know, and that's one that sells, that's like $16 a bottle.
That's so great. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
So, and that's the other thing, too. There were tons of whites.
And sparkling, you know, because people are like, well, you know, sparkling, you know, I only think champagne.
Right.
And we had Bella Vista there from French Quarter. They make some of the best sparkling wine in the world. And so the Bella Vistas that we were serving there, if people had it blind in the glass, they would think they were drinking great champagne.
I love that. Yep. And I love that.
Yeah.
So, of course, the Brunello, I guess, was the star of the night?
Brunello?
Yeah. I know.
It was. Well, because
I'm trying to give equal time to everybody, but it kind of...
There's been so much hype around the 2010 vintage, and all the Brunello producers, some of them are pouring still remaining stocks of their 2010s. Some are showing the new vintage of 2011, which is coming out just right now. And then more importantly, it was the first chance for a lot of people in the U.S. to get their first taste of 2010 Reserva.
Yep.
Which is, you know, kind of the best of what was a great vintage.
Which is in front of us right now. So you told a good story that you had this postpartum, so to speak.
Yes. So I went around to all the Brunello producers that night. And
Andrew was running around like a chicken without a head. The fact that you had a glass of wine at all that night would amaze me, quite frankly.
I know. And I knew that there was going to, you know, we, because the event was sold out weeks in advance, we had a lot of clients who wanted to come, but they're just, you know, we couldn't oversell the event because that wasn't fair to anyone. And so I snatched a few bottles off the table early on at the beginning of the event and told the producers that we were going to be doing a tasting in the store on Saturday. And it would be great for the local clients from Westchester and New York City and Connecticut to come down and taste some of the great things from that night. So this is one, this is Pietranera, and it's their 2010 Brunello Reserva.
Wow.
And had, you know, that's funny. That's the adjective I use on that wine. I literally just tweeted about it yesterday, and it was the Wow 2010 Brunello Reserva. Wow.
So can you quickly explain the difference between the Reservas and the regular 2010 Brunellas, even though you just took a sip? Because that'll allow me time to take a sip?
Yeah. So Reserva essentially gets one additional year of aging in the cellar. And for some producers, their 10 Reserva, in addition to getting the extra aging, also is their best vineyard selections.
Right.
So, you know, you go to your oldest vines, the grapes that are, you know, coming the best out of the vineyard, and they usually they'll isolate those when they vinify everything at the beginning, and that's what's gonna get the extra year in the bottle. And this one, with time, will open and change dramatically. And the fact that the wow on this was obviously the style of it. It's certainly rich, but it's forward.
Yep.
And the fact that it sells for only $69.99, that's our own
for
wow.
Reserva.
For Reserva. The Reservas, for the most part, started around 100 and go up. And so people were like, wow. So we literally, that Saturday, people were putting pre-orders in for like cases of this. And
because
so
it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it just goes to show, this is, again, a cool thing you find at the event. You walk around, you stumble along this little producer maybe you've never heard of, and you're tasting a Brunello Reserva from them, and the guy says his Reserva sells for the price of what most people's Brunello sells.
I always know that people question pricing. Mm-hmm. Why is one wine $150 and this wine only $70? And I do know that a lot of it has to do with, you know, prestige, so to speak, or name recognition, stuff like that. But this wine could stand up against any of them. So why is it cheaper? Is it because that I don't? Many people haven't heard of it?
It's like anything. It's supply and demand.
That's crazy.
Supply and demand is, you know, it's no different than wine world than any other, you know, category out there. Smaller producer, he just doesn't have the market demand. So, like you said, if you put it blind in the glass next to a Brunello Reserva that sells some of them out there, itself for $135 or $140
a
bottle.
Right, name you recognize.
And you say, I push this in front of you, and taste them both. You say, which one do you like more? You very well might like this one more. But then when I put the label out, people might go for the more expensive.
Because,
you know, it's just,
because unfortunately that happens.
Well, that's why you want to find cool things like this. So the Greco di Tufo we tasted, other great Greco di Tufos in the market are in the mid to high 20s per bottle. Why is this one only $15.99? No one knows it. I think this is better than most.
It's fantastic.
And same thing with the Brunello.
You know, we didn't talk, and I don't want you to open every single wine here, but we didn't talk about this Antinori.
Yep.
This is one of my favorite wines, actually.
Yeah. So they were pouring the 13, and it is Chivarro della Sala, and this is probably one of the most luxurious white wines in all of Tuscany.
Yes.
In all of Europe. And the 13, we won't talk too much about it because we're down to our final bottles. I tasted the 14 3 weeks ago when I was in Italy. I'm telling you right now, and I'm going to make you come back later this spring when it's in stock.
Okay.
It's the best Chivarro della Sala I've ever tasted.
Really?
It's so
like
friggin'
back
good.
Up the truck on the 14.
Yeah, because, you know, Chivarro della Sala typically, you know, it has a lot of richness and weight to it, but it had this, like, amazing freshness and elegance. And 14 was a very challenging vintage for all red wines in Tuscany.
Right.
But they pulled this in, they harvested the grapes on the whites before the rains came in September. So people are like, oh, 14 is getting this bad rap. The 14 Chivarro della Sala was unbelievable.
And because I think people often think Antinori, big reds, Tignanello, this Chivarro, everyone should get out there and try.
Yeah.
All right. So as we move on, and I continue to nurse this fabulous Brunello.
get you another glass.
No, it's fine. The Cusimano, it's funny. I grew up with Cusimanos because it's a Sicilian name. It's a Sicilian wine. And why'd you walk away saying this is one of your favorites?
So the Sagana is, it's a single vineyard near Davila. So near Davila, you know, it kind of has that, you know, that black raspberry, yeah, kind of darkish, right, brambly sort of fruit to
like
it.
Like sticks to your teeth.
Right. So people kind of, you know, they think Nero. Nowhere on the front of the label does it say Nero d'Avola.
It doesn't.
And what they do, this is basically, it's a super Sicilian. So it's a single vineyard of Cusimano's very best Nero d'Avola, all done in small barrique. So it's like, it's got the richness and the structure of what you think of Nero d'Avola, but with like that, you know, richness and elegance and finesse. Like you get in the great Super Tuscans. And the price point on it...
But it's a single varietal?
It's 100% Nero.
Interesting.
100% Nero. Taste it?
Yeah, sure. And then we're going to... I don't want to make you Corbin all these bottles, even though we could be here all day and do this. It's so unfair to the listener, though, that you can't... you can't. There's like 10 bottles here. But the beauty of Sicily... And I love, again, that Sicily was highlighted or had representation there that night.
Yeah.
It's because those wines are getting better and better.
Yeah. It's one of the hottest categories.
You know, one of the first Sicilian wines I ever tasted, minus the gasoline that my grandfather used to make, was Planetta.
Yeah.
The Planetta Chardonnay. Yeah. And no one would think Chardonnay in Sicily, but those women are making amazing wines down there. And Sicily's coming to its own.
So we have...
So this is so dark.
Yeah.
This is like typical Nero d'Avola looking. Oh yeah, I'm not spitting that out. Keeping in mind, it's 10 o'clock in the morning here.
Oh. See what I mean? In terms of richness and density and length to it. I mean, there's no real brambly rough qualities to that. It's
But it needs food.
Without a doubt.
Right.
That's kind of my little little chirping noise there. It's
it needs
a little something else in my mouth.
You're like,
that. Yeah.
I always say it's like hangover mouth. Right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know that, but cotton mouth?
But the great thing, and I strongly encourage people to go out there, and whether it's at Zacchi's or your local wine store, to ask about, to see their Sicilian selection of wines, is like you said, the quality of the wines. And winemaking and working in the vineyards has gone through the roof.
Yep.
But the price of the wines are still super reasonable. You can get. There's so many great Nero d'Avolas out there that sell for under $20 a bottle, and it gives you an opportunity to see like all the great things going on.
And what they're doing in Mount Etna, awesome stuff.
Yeah. So we're very pro Sicily here at Zacchi's.
Me too.
Okay.
So the next bottle has a label that everyone is going to look at the picture on the website to fully get it, but we will do our best to explain.
Yeah.
What I love about Italy is they have no boundaries. Mm-hmm. They just don't care. So the label's a little provocative.
Sex sells, baby.
It sure does. Okay, so tell us the story.
So the winery is called Bibi Gretz, and Bibi is their winery is just on the hillside north of Florence. His family had a wedding hall with vineyards all around it, so the vines have some good age to it. And he took over the family business and really wanted to do the wine part, not the wedding hall part. So this wine, their flagship wine, is a wine called Testamata, and it has actually a very cool-looking like Grateful Dead label on the front with like funky colors, and you probably saw it. I mean, when you walk by, you can't miss it. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Because first of all, the guy's name looks Israeli.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the wines aren't they very expensive?
Yes.
Like stupid expensive?
Yes.
Why is that? Because, small lots.
Yeah, and he feels like he wants to create this brand that, like,
I'm Lamborghini.
Right, and he wants to start at the top and stay at the top. And so Testamata is there. That wine sells for like $125 a bottle. And then he's got another wine called Colore, which that sells for $600 a bottle.
And we all got to taste that night, which was pretty amazing.
And then he introduced, because he heard from people saying, you know, hey, you know, these wines are a little, you know, unreachable price-wise, they're great wines, but I don't know if I want to spend $125 a bottle. He said he wanted to have something that kind of felt like fun and different and was representative of the region and the varietals, so he came out with Sofocone. And Sofocone is the Italian translation for fellatio.
Which I love. And the label, it has this sexy woman sort of kind of...
On her knees.
Getting ready to...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, tradition.
It's awesome, actually. The wine is so great, though.
Yeah, and this is this is a much more reasonable wine. The Sofacone sells for, I think, somewhere in like the mid-30s.
So 2012, it is Sangiovese?
Mm-hmm. 90% Sangiovese with like, and 10% Colorino in it, which is obviously indigenous varietal.
But, lighter color, obviously.
Yep. But fresh.
Totally drinkable
clean,
right now, quite frankly.
And a great story.
And
so
you really,
Sofacone.
Honestly, first of all, you all just learned a new word today. Yeah. I did too as a Sicilian because I didn't actually even know what that meant. And I thought I knew all the bad words.
Google it. You can find anything on Google these days.
Okay. I actually just love that he just put it on the label like that.
Yep. And it got label approval in the U.S. And
it did. It had to. Do all these labels have to be approved in the U.S.?
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
So did some person not know how to translate?
Maybe they just weren't worried about it. Maybe
my guess
maybe
is Felicio wouldn't work.
No.
If you tried that.
No. You might struggle with that a little bit.
Okay.
So one of the crowd fan favorites, if you will, he's been here in the store, and I know that I saw all sorts of people around his table, is Salvatore Ferragamo.
The shoe guy, the clothes guy, the designer.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Ferragamo family, they do everything well, and they're good looking, and he's just a handsome Tuscan dude. And so they have a couple different wineries around Tuscany. They have a Brunello estate called Castiglione del Bosco. It's its own village.
Awesome.
And then they have the Il Borro estate, which is just south of Florence, about a half hour south of Florence. And at Il Borro, it's an old Etruscan village. They bought the whole village, and it's a Relais and Chateau estate. So
awesome.
If you have any listeners out there that ever want to go to like an amazing Tuscan experience, the Il Borro estate, you know, run by the Ferragamos.
Yeah.
And you stay
amazing.
In these cool old, houses with
ooh,
around
the castle.
And then
you probably get like the sheets and the robe.
Yeah, and you can go.
I love that stuff.
You can go hunting, and you can ride horses, and the whole thing. So, anyways,
awesome.
So they've got vineyards growing all around the property, and they started to cultivate wine there about a decade or so ago. And this wine here, it's called Polisena, and it's a small single vineyard, 100% Sangiovese, that they feel is kind of like their version of a Brunello. And this was the first time they've ever shown it was at the Great Wines of Italy this year.
Really?
They make a couple different wines from there, but this is the first time I've ever seen it in the U.S.
Mm, get a ton of fruit. 2011.
This is the Polisena. Is I think it's 2000.
It says 11.
It does?
Yeah.
It does say 2011, yes.
So, but in 11, that's, I think, an interesting point, too, to make. People often assume 11, bad in California, therefore. And I hesitate to say bad in California because I swear on my kids' college education, those 11s are going to be beautiful someday, and I know it. Some of the good producers had produced good wines. But that being said, 11 in Tuscany was amazing.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all in how you manage your crops. It got really hot in August, and so people had to
They
had to do some green pruning to, you know, to pull back the fruit so that there wasn't too much, things didn't get kind of overblown. But the 11, it's like you can feel kind of like the richness in the mid-palate, but then dials back to a nice elegance. 11 is a drinking vintage for Tuscany, I think.
It is,
this is
smooth. You can. I think it stands on its own. It doesn't need food.
And so, you know, this is like a little baby super Tuscan.
And what's the price on that?
About $34 a bottle.
Really?
Yep. From the Ferragamo family. So here's a good example. So we poured this. We were really impressed with it at the event. We got stocks of it, so we did that tasting the Saturday after.
Mm-hmm.
We had 10 cases of it. We sold out all 10 cases that day in the store.
Really?
Because we liked it. We're like, well, if we liked it, hopefully our customers will like it. It shot out, which is great.
And look, I always think that when there's a good story to tell, people like the wine has, it almost tastes better.
Yeah.
You know, someone could go home or bring this to a dinner party and say, this is Salvatore Ferragamo's wine. And all of a sudden, like,
I
don't know. I think there's something to that.
And he wants to come back to the store. So I'll make sure to let you know
when
he's coming.
Please do.
The ladies really like him.
I'm sure. That's the beauty of the Italians. They're very good with the ladies. All of them. All right, so this is
Zanker wine we're tasting today. So this is one of my all-time favorite Brunello producers, Ciacci Piccolomini. He's in the southern portion of Montalcino by Sant'Antimo. So southern exposure, it's the warmer part of Montalcino, so they tend the wines tend to be a little bit riper in style. And everyone's like, Brunello, Brunello, Brunello in the last year and a half. And one of the cool wines that we love to sell here in the store is Rosso di Montalcino, because you're getting baby Brunello. It's,
right.
You know, it's the same Sangiovese Grosso. It just obviously has less aging. Some producers really put some of their best grapes into it. This is a perfect example. So this was poured at the event, and people were like, well, you know, I really like the Reserva, but at $150 a bottle.
Can't do it.
Yeah, and I'm like, did you taste the Rosso from him? So this sells in the low 20s per bottle, $23 a bottle.
So what I love, and so many of the vineyards do this, though, is they make the Rosso while they're waiting for the Brunello to age.
Yep.
Because you got to have a wine on hand at all times.
Yep.
But to your point, many just put in whatever's left over to make the Rosso. Mm-hmm. So the notion that this guy is actually, like, devoting time and energy and quality grapes to his Rosso says something.
Right. And it's a great way. His commitment to Rosso has translated into his Brunello being as successful as it is. You know what I mean? If you put a good Rosso out there,
yeah,
it's like any part of the wine world. Maybe in California you start drinking lighter style cabs or pinots, and then you want to build up to something bigger,
yeah, it's
and
like
more
entry
expensive.
Level.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you love the
I always
the
say
brand,
it's like the Mercedes C-Class.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason they do that, right? So that you stay.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so he now you're hooked. Now, when I have some extra change in my pocket, mm-hmm, I'll try the Brunello.
I see what I mean about being in the southern part of Montalcino and the warmth.
Absolutely.
And the ripeness to the wine. That's like a wine that if you serve that to anyone who loves Italian wine, you know, for only 20-something bucks a bottle, it's
a great wine to bring, actually, to someone's home, too, because, again, there's a story, and it reminds me of Joni Lepsciacci every time I say it, for those of you who are old enough to remember that. All right, so, Andrew, website.
www.zackies.com.
And you are at, what's your Twitter handle?
At Andrew Zackies.
Okay, and I'm at Tracy Burns, and I will put all the links to these wines up as well. They're awesome. Try something you never had before. I think that should be everyone's goal. Never drink the same wine again. All right,
I'm with you 110%.
10 times.
Cheers, baby.
Thank you.